The Bengals Beat podcast is proudly sponsored by 50 West Brewing Company. Now is the time to head out to the production works. It's where we've held our live BBPs. It's home to the incomparable madness that is the 50 West Punch-Out. The place is buzzing every night with sand volleyball leagues, canoeing, kayaking, cycling, trivia, running groups. It's all based out of the Pro Works down on Wooster Pike. You may even spot Optimistic Bobby preaching the Laser Cats gospel. Hope to see you soon at 50 West, where every beer is a journey. Come join for the ride. Welcome into the BBP. This is the Cincinnati Inquirer's Bengals Beat podcast, sponsored by 50 West Brewing Company.
Every week, your Bengals beat writers, fantasy football failure, Fletcher Page, and Paul Danner Jr. take you inside Paul Brown Stadium.
We're plugged into the club from the front office to the field. Win or lose, hiring or firing, I'm always here to keep you in the loop. Let's go. All right, welcome to the walkout. Paul Danner Jr., Fletcher Page, Cincinnati.com. In the aftermath of the latest beatdown and really the official end of the Bengals 2018 season. That's pretty much, we kind of said that last week, but there was still, look.
Look at this schedule.
Look at this schedule. You got the Browns twice. You got Denver. You got Oakland. There's all these wins out there. They just need to play teams that aren't as good. No. We see where it's all at now, and the quarterback's hurt, and so whatever.
And it was like the least shocking thing to happen, I guess, by about kickoff, because before the game, you officially get word that, you know, AJ's not playing, Dre's not playing, Cordy Glenn's not playing, and I don't know. It just felt like as soon as I got here today at Paul Brown
Jake Fisher comes in and plays. He gets hurt. So now Cedric Obwehi's out there doing his Obwehi thing, which is mostly false starting and not blocking. And, you know, I keep going back to the one moment. You scored right before half. You get the ball. You're even driving a little bit. 28-7. But you've mostly been getting your ass kicked by the Browns. And your first-round pick center yanks one up over the top of Andy Dalton. And are we walking out into – we don't have to be locked in here.
I'm going to let you walk first.
There's chairs in front of this thing.
That'll keep people
– does this go – we saw a man – that's a interesting way to try to keep us from leaving.
I'm just going to put it back the way it was.
Yeah. Three. That was a bit like the Bengals' defensive strategy. Let's just put three chairs against a door. How could anyone ever get out of there? That's probably because some drunken man was running on the field after the game. No one knows how he got there, but he was absolutely hammered and decided that he was going to just run from the 50 to the end zone, and he tried to throw his phone to himself in the end zone. You're going to want to hear this story rather than us talk about the game, trust me. He was trying to throw his phone to himself and catch it, but he dropped it three times, but finally ran and got into the end zone, pretended he was waving to the crowd, then walked over to a bagged up TV camera when security showed up, and they asked him what was going on, and he said, "Oh, I was just checking these cameras to make sure they're still working right." This is really where you got to be at with this season right now. This season is a joke. This team is a joke right now, and we should all just enjoy the ridiculousness that they've become.
Wait, so was that guy on the field different than the other guy that tried to get into the Bengals locker room?
Oh, yeah, that was a totally different guy who, like, was trying to get into the Bengals locker room, and eight security people were just clueless around him. Again, this is kind of where we're at right now. Look, what do you got to look for? It's over, folks. It's over. You get demoralized. Punked and demoralized has been my phrase of the game, because they were. The Browns were handing the ball to Hugh after the pick and dancing and talking crap. Demarius Randle said, "We're going to whoop that ass when you don't have AJ Green." And
he was
they
right.
Came down. He was very right. And they did. And it wasn't particularly competitive at all.
I did agree with your point that the one thing that the Browns didn't need to do this week was to create some motivation from outside the Bengals locker room. That's something that they've struggled with all year, is to find reasons to play. Mm-hmm. So I thought I kind of bought into the narrative that maybe he gave them some spark. But I think the Browns needed that because they're so tired of hearing about how god-awful they are.
Yeah.
And they're a legitimate team right now to themselves. Yeah. They can say it out loud.
Yeah. I would agree. I mean, they handled Atlanta. Well, this was their first road win in 25 tries and the first time since 2015.
They're only half a game out of last place.
Yeah.
Or in last place by half a game.
This really did. I thought Lance McAllister had a great tweet talking about how, you just know years down the road we will look back to this game as the passing of the torch between these two teams. One going the wrong way, the other one clearly ascending a little bit. But to me, I mean, from our perspective and for the sake of the walkout, this isn't about the Browns. This is about the Bengals team with no answers. This is about here's the worst part. So post-game, maybe you'll see in recent weeks we've seen vets fire off a little bit and vent frustration and want to talk about it. There were a number of vets
silence.
Who just passing today. This was resignation.
Acceptance of what it is.
Yeah.
What it ain't.
And, from a Bengals fan perspective, that's unfortunate. Not saying, these guys didn't quit, if that does anything for you, if you care about that type of stuff. I mean, Jeff Driskel, who could be your quarterback next week, we'll see what happens to Andy Dalton, who's had the thumb injury. Initial reports are that it's not broken, but, there's still ligaments and all kinds of other crap involved, so who knows? More tests is kind of where we're at right now. We'll find out more tomorrow, but, they had some fight in them. Whoopsie freaking do. They're nowhere near good enough. They have no answers on defense. We said walking out early in the season that this defense could probably be their fatal flaw if they can't figure it out. And Terrell Austin has gone down. Marvin Lewis, I got it. No, you don't.
Hugh Jackson.
None of it matters because they are just god-awful. They can't stop a thing. If it wasn't for the Browns going into a shell up 35-7, who knows how many yards they would have ran up. They ran up 296 in the first half. Then they stopped trying to score. They just started trying to run the ball and run it out. So don't give me, we showed some life in the second half on defense. No, you didn't. They ran into the middle like 15 times. But whatever.
I just can't believe that just a few weeks ago we were counting losses, and it would have been almost impossible to convince me that they would finish with fewer than 8 or 9 wins.
Right.
And now it feels like they won't win another game.
Right. I don't – it's hard to see – look, where the Oakland home.
Yeah.
Beyond that, when you see how badly they've gotten beaten and how few answers – look, maybe A.J. Green comes back healthy, okay?
And Andy.
And maybe Andy comes back healthy now. Let's just say that's the case, and you get a couple of dudes.
They don't play linebacker, though.
Yeah. Nick Vigil, right?
That's right.
Okay, great. You still got the everything else. You need like 4 AJ Greens to come off the mat at this point. I mean, there's just not a lot of thought that this thing's going to turn around. And so now all this season is turning into is the same thing the last couple have turned into. Marv watch. Right? It's what this is going to be about now. It's, Marv says after the game, this is squarely on my shoulders. Whatever. I mean, what are you going to sure. To quote Marv from last year when asked if he would come back as the Bengals coach. Yeah, sure. Great. But, I mean, look, we're going to spend the next 5 weeks wondering, speculating, questioning. And if it continues to spiral, maybe it will happen. Maybe this will be the year that they move on. Maybe not. Maybe Hugh Jackson is really here to be the guy. Of course, he's a candidate because Lord knows how this organization feels about him. But, as far as what will happen next, nobody knows. Any rational, logical person would look at this if it spirals and say, yes, obviously you have to move on. But none of that matters. This is one man's decision. This is Mike Brown's decision. So who knows how this thing is going to end up as far as whether Marvin Lewis stays or goes. But right now, this was a bad look. This was a stadium with Browns fans barking most of the time is what you heard the most.
And Duke.
And
I'm chanting for Duke.
Yeah, right. There's all these Browns fans here. All team plays like complete garbage against the Browns. At home, must-win game. These are the types of things that are hard to forget, you would think, for Mike Brown and for this front office. So we will see what comes of that. But, you know, we've also been saying that for a long, long time.
What's it like covering a Marv watch during, like, the holiday season?
Well, there's not really much to it. I mean, last year was the most active because of the national report that Prue was ended up incorrect. That came out before the Minnesota game. But the thing is, Marv watch is all about one thing, and it will always be about one thing. It will be the day after the season, Mike and Marvin meet, and they talk it out. And last year, it was a couple of days long because they were working out the contract details and all the other stuff that went along with it. But, you know, for the most part, it's just about that meeting.
So it's more about Twitter.
Well, yeah.
That's where the real fun goes down.
Well, I mean, everybody knows. Everybody's in the same place. And Bengals Twitter, we love you on days like this.
Yeah, I want to give
a shout out
to
Bengals. Yeah, I mean, days like this, they're great. I mean, there is just a great pocket of this fan base that has this great embrace of the suck.
Right.
Yeah, they just embrace the suck and understand the suck and really can find joy in it. I think that's where we all kind of try to go right now. So that's like, look, drunken man throwing phone to himself and running into the end zone. Like, that guy's great. That guy's great. We need that.
Right.
Everybody needs that. So, anyway, that's where we're at. That's pretty much it. Cincinnati.com. We've got the post-game rap video. You can check that out. Not an actual rap video. I mean, like, we don't necessarily. Yeah, I could. Yeah. I mean, it has happened before. Maybe next week.
Yeah.
Look, if the season spirals too far, we can always do actual rap videos.
I have a rule. If I cover 6 losses out of 7 games, I ask for a rap video.
It's the opposite of, like, the really good teams that do, like, the Super Bowl shuffle or Reds Hot. It's the opposite of that.
Right.
Sucks so bad the beat writers have to start doing rap videos. That's where we're at. All right, anyway, so keep it all locked in there. We'll give you updates, obviously, on the Dalton injury. And best wishes out to Tony McCray in the hospital tonight. He had a pretty bad-looking concussion, went off in a stretcher. A lot of players were going to visit him after the game, so hopefully we'll have good reports on that. The initial reports are positive, but we'll know more on that tomorrow. So, anyway, hope you keep it locked there, and stay with us. I promise this will be fun the rest of the season. Just because the team sucks doesn't mean that we're not going to have a good old time documenting it. So please keep it locked here, and we'll talk to you soon.